Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A Jewish father was concerned about his son, who was about a year away from his bar mitzvah, but he was sorely lacking in his knowledge of the Jewish faith. So to remedy this, he sent his son to Israel. A year later, the young man returned home. "Father, thank you for sending me to the land of our fathers," the boy said. It was wonderful and it was enlightening. However, I must confess that while in Israel, I converted to Christianity." "Oy vey," replied the father, "what have I done?" So in the tradition of the patriarchs, he went to his best friend and he sought his advice. "It is amazing that you should come to me," his friend stated. "I too sent my son to Israel and he returned a Christian." So in the tradition of the patriarchs, they went to the rabbi. "It is amazing that you should come to me," stated the rabbi. "I too sent my son to Israel and he returned a Christian." "What is happening to our sons?" "Brothers, we must take this to God." So the rabbi and the others fell to their knees and began to wail and pour out their hearts to the Almighty. As they prayed, the clouds above opened, and a mighty voice said, "Amazing that you should come to me. I too sent my son to Israel." Now, I started with this story because of who spoke last in the gospel lesson. How do we know that God too sent his son to Israel? Because God the Father spoke from the heavens when Jesus was baptized. And when God spoke, all of those gathered around Jesus knew then that God had indeed sent his son to Israel. There was no denying that God spoke from heaven and made it clear that this, his own son, was the one that he had promised to send to the people of Israel. Look at verse 15. What does it say there about the people? It says that they were waiting expectantly. They were looking for the Christ, the promised one of God. The people had the expectation that God would fulfill his promise. They were seeking God to keep his word to them. That word of promise is echoed in the Old Testament lesson today. In verses 5 through 7, it says in part, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And the people in the gospel lesson today were wondering if John the Baptist was the fulfillment of that promise of God. They wanted God to gather them and keep them separated from others in this world so they could glorify God. Of course, some of them also, well, they just wanted the hated Romans to be gone. But still, even that desire was rooted in God's promise to be called together in the name of God. They were looking for the certainty of who John was, and they were seeking certainty from God that he was keeping his word to them. This wasn't something they did only on the Sabbath. This wasn't just some religious observance they occasionally thought about or practiced. This was in the people's hearts and minds. This was something they even talked about among themselves. And that for us is significant. In our coming together to worship, we're doing the same thing. We're talking about God keeping His word and His promises. We come here to receive His gifts of word and sacrament that deliver God's promise to us. We come here and hear God's call that we are His daughters and sons that He has created. We gather to talk not about the hope of God's promises, but the fulfillment of His promises. So, we're not that different than those people who were wondering if John was the Christ. And we are now able to see clearly the fulfillment of their hope, not in John, but in Jesus, revealed by His baptism. He, Jesus, and not John the Baptist, is the one in whom the longing of the people is made complete. Jesus is the one who relieves all the wondering and the wandering of the hearts of the people in Luke and of all people of all time. Also, take note of verse 21. Read that aloud with me, please. When all the people were being baptized,
Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened.
It tells us Jesus was baptized along with all the people. But, significantly, at his baptism, it says in verse 22, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. It also says that the voice of God from heaven spoke of Jesus and made clear to all people that this one, not John, but that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise. This was God's own Son, whom he too sent to Israel. In his baptism, Jesus has been revealed as the Christ, as the promised one. And not only by his baptism, but also by his birth and the events surrounding his birth. God used Gabriel and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men to demonstrate that Jesus' ordinary human birth was for an extraordinary child. Now, the wise men are significant because last week was Epiphany, the day we celebrate the coming of the wise men. Christmas is our celebration of the appearance of Jesus Christ in human flesh, his appearance as a true man. Epiphany is the celebration of the revelation of Jesus Christ as true God, the eternal and almighty Son of God in heaven. Again, in the Old Testament lesson, God says of Jesus, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. During our Christmas celebration, we marvel that Jesus is truly human. During our Epiphany celebration, we marvel that Jesus is truly the Son of God. And today, in his baptism, we see the beginning of his work on earth as an adult. In his baptism, we see that the child born in Bethlehem is indeed the Holy One of Israel, and he is the hope of the world. He is God's own Son, sent to bring the forgiveness of sin and restoration to God, that God promised long, long ago. What gives our baptism, not this thing today, this just recalled our promises, but at our baptism, what gives it its power is what God does with it, not what we do. That certainty of God's work in us comes to us in our own baptism, according to what St. Paul said in the epistle lesson today. Listen to this again. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So says St. Paul. That promise of resurrection is ours. It's what's poured out on us in our baptism. God does that. We don't. God has chosen to give us that certain hope, that assurance of life new and life eternal through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are united with him in death and in life in him through our baptism. Let me ask you to think about something. What do you want to be doing this year so that others can have the hope that you have in Jesus Christ? If you had the permission, so to speak, what would you do so that others could share in the gift of God that is yours through your baptism? I'm not asking you to join a committee or board that you might want to be on, although that's a very good thing to do. I don't want to discourage that. But what do you want to be doing to enable all of us to reach out in some way to Bolivar through hearing, sharing, and living the gospel? Now, the wise men brought gifts with which to worship Christ. What gifts do you bring? I'll tell you what gifts you bring. You bring the gifts that God, by his grace, has equipped you with. But how will you use them? There are some things in life you can control. There are some things you can't. But of those things you can control, you alone have the power to use your gifts or not use them. I think that God has given us great gifts and wonderful abilities in the people in this place. Some years back, there was a man in New York City. They called him the Subway Superman. His name is Wesley Autry, and he jumped on the tracks in a New York City subway and held another man still who was having a seizure, and in so doing, he saved his life. When asked about why he did that, he said that he had a choice to let his two little daughters see a man die, or he could try and do something about it. He chose to do something about it. Christ chose to do something about our certain death situation. And his salvation of us does not depend on what we do or what we know. We thank God for that. But that's what Jesus coming to earth is all about. Because God too sent his son to Israel, we leave here today knowing that we are Christians by his work alone. We know that our hope is in Jesus' name and the work that he has done. And we know that others need to hear that also. We are called to be faithful. To be faithful in telling the truth of Jesus, the Christ of God, for whom the world had waited. Jesus is the one who, by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, delivers us from our sin and from the shame of our rebellion against God. Jesus is the promised deliverer, who, as we read today, the people were looking for at his baptism. We leave here today refreshed and restored by his work through the promise in our baptism and through the gifts that he gives to us, his word and his very life. In Jesus' holy and life-giving name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart,